I just want to say that, just like Brother Tom was talking about this morning, how blessed we are to be part of Calvary Baptist Church. I tell you, I don't think I've ever been more proud of our church than I am now. And I've been here for a while. I've been here for a few years. And I tell you, I'm proud to be a member. I'm proud to be a part of Calvary Baptist Church. And I don't say that to lift. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to lift anybody up, not trying to magnify you. I get no extra credit if I brag on the church, okay? Don't help me a bit in my standing. You know, I'm still at the bottom and trying to work my way up, all those kind of things. But, you know, it don't help me a bit. But I want you to know, I'll tell you, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to be a part of this church. I'm thankful, just like this morning. If you didn't get blessed this morning, there is something bad wrong on the inside.
Amen.
Brother Tom preached a great message. There was some great singing, I tell you. And God, I don't know about you, but God was here this morning. God moved. God spoke to my heart. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to be a part of that. But can I tell you, and you know, all the exciting things that we've seen and we see and we get to be a part of, you know, we should never, ever, ever, ever take it for granted that this is the way it is everywhere. Because it's not like that. And I'm not bragging on nobody. I'm not trying to put anybody up. But listen, we've got a great pastor that loves us, and he preaches the word of God with great power. And listen, he great leadership ability. Again, I get no extra credit for that. But I'm putting that out there. Listen, we're blessed.
Amen.
We're blessed. I tell you one thing. It reminds me when he's out. It reminds me how much we should be praying for our pastor. You know, if there's anything in the world that people, that folks that set out in the congregation don't understand about the pastor, is the pressure that he faces and he carries with him all the time. We get to experience a little bit of that. You know, Michael, you know, he runs off. He's, you know, gallivanting all over the country, vacation, you know. I think he said he was going to Africa, but he's going to Bermuda or something like that, you know, cruise, something like that. I can't remember what he said. But you know, left me and Tom here to, you know, to handle the whole thing. But and Luke, where's Luke at? Luke's with us. But can I just tell you the pressure, we get to sense a little bit of that. We get to feel a little bit of that pressure when he leaves. I tell you, it's immense. It's immense. It's intense sometimes, the pressure that you live through or you go through, and he's like that all the time. Guess what he's doing tonight? Instead of relaxing, trying to get well, trying to get better, you know what he's doing? If he could, he'd be pacing up and down, but he's probably not able to do that. But he is concerned about what's going on. He's concerned that he's not here. He's concerned about all the things, and it's just with him all the time. That's the life of a pastor. No regrets, no complaints, nothing like that. It's just, you know, just letting you know. But I tell you, things, there's so many exciting things that's been going on here at Calvary. And you know, we ought to get on our knees. We ought to thank God for all the great things that he's done. I think about just this past week, you know, Brother Luke being ordained to the ministry. My goodness, what a tremendous privilege and blessing that we got to be a part of that. Calvary Baptist Church. When the men came up and they prayed over Brother Luke and they put their hands on him, you know what they were doing? They were signifying that we put our approval on him, and we as a church are sending him out into the gospel ministry. By the way, you didn't come up and you didn't pray with him or pray with, as these guys were praying. You didn't put your hands on them, but you know what? As a church, you sure did do that. You put your hands on him. You approved of the fact that we believe that God's called him to the ministry, and for him to go out and preach the gospel. Guess what? Guess what? As a church, everything that he's a part of, we are too. And that goes for every man in here that preaches the gospel or missionaries or anything else that we have a hand in supporting. Boy, I tell you, that was great. How about all the people that's been baptized? My goodness, what a blessing. What a blessing. By the way, we've already got another list. We're ready to go. We're ready to baptize more. And we're thankful for that. You know, there's a lot of church that the baptistry is used for storage. Dry as dust. It's dry. There's dust there. There's Christmas decorations, all kinds of things. What about people that had been saved and they hadn't been baptized, but they've been saved for a long time, and now they're being baptized? We had several of those last week. You know what that means? That means that God worked in their heart. Right. God brought them to the place and helped them to realize, hey, you know, I've been saved for a long time. I've never been baptized. I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I tell you, that is tremendous. Amen. God working, speaking to their heart, and they're wanting to follow the Lord. Be obedient to Him. And isn't it amazing the people that God is bringing to our church? Yes, sir. It's amazing to think that. And by the way, people listen online. They listen online. They see the preaching. They see the sing. They hear the singing. All those kind of things. And they look at that and they start looking at you know, all the things that we're doing and involved in and all those kind of things. And you know what? They look at it and they say, you know, I want to be a part of that. I want to go there. I want to be a part of that. And I tell you, that is just so exciting to think about that. And by the way, it's not because of any one person. It's all because of God. God has got His hand of blessing upon this church. And by the way, we ought to be more diligent than ever to pray every day for our church, for the protection of our church, that God would keep the unity and keep His hand of blessing upon us. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the message tonight is about the call of Elijah. But wait a minute. I know what people are thinking. I've been thinking about this for, you know, the last 3 or 4 days. People are thinking, well, that just leaves me out. I can sit back and I can relax because there's nothing here for me tonight. But listen, nothing could be further from the truth. This message is for every single person here tonight. And if God, listen, I'm not, just because we're looking at the call of Elijah and really he's going to be a prophet, he's going to be set aside to do some great and wonderful things for God. Listen, guess what? Every one of us are being set aside for something. God's got a plan. God's got a work for everybody in here tonight. And don't think for a minute that the message is not for you, because it is. It's. Listen, we're going to look at Elijah, and we're going to see that there was a time that he had to make a decision, and he was going to surrender it all. Guess what? Every one of us as Christians should have come to the point to where we realize that God wanted us to do more. And there come a time when we had to evaluate who we are and what we are. And God spoke to our heart and He said, listen, it's time for a choice. It's time for a decision in your life. Are you going to follow me, or are you going to follow your own pursuit or follow the world? What are you going to do? Folks, listen, everybody, every one of us need to be confronted with that on a regular basis. Are you going to serve God? Are you going to follow Him? Or are you just going to follow and do what you want to do? Listen, there's a great challenge here tonight, and I hope that every one of us will see that. I hope God will challenge every one of us, bring us face to face with the reality that God wants more for our life. God doesn't want us just to go through the motions. Come in here, sit down, and just enjoy what's going on and walk out and not be changed and not do anything for God. Folks, listen, that's not the way it ought to be. By the way, You ought to have a desire to want to do more. Every one of us ought to have a desire to want to do more for God than we've ever done before. Why? Because God has so much for us. And I'm telling you, when you get in on the program, when you get with the program, there's nothing like it.
That's right.
There's nothing like it in all the world. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you, when you come into the church, you come up, you pull up on the property, and you are excited about what you believe God could do something today. I mean, God could do something great, and I'm going to be able to be a part of it. I'm going to get to see it, and man, it's going to be great. Boy, we ought to be anticipating. We ought to be anticipating God working in our lives, God doing something here. You know, like I said, if we're not anticipating, guess what? It's done got old to us. It's done got old. We're used to it. Oh yeah, we've seen that before. We've done that. We've been a part of that. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, our best days, Pastor said, our best days are ahead of us. God's got so much more He wants us to do. Could you imagine if this whole church, as a mighty army, was united and move forward as one great army, what could be accomplished for the Lord? You know, if you've ever watched any, war pictures or anything, and you know, like D-Day and different places like that, and I tell you, every time I see that, I think to myself, that had to be one of the worst things in all the world. Here you are, you come in on one of those boats, and you land on the beach there. That tailgate goes down, and you know when that tailgate goes down, there's a good chance you're not going to survive. I mean, they're shooting at you with everything that they got. They're throwing every bullet they've got at you just as fast as they can do it, and they're hoping to try to kill everybody on those boats. And those boats just keep landing, and those doors keep opening up. And you know what those men do? They run out. They get out and they start charging the beach because you know what? That's their duty. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. And amazing about that is they would sit there and they would watch. They would see people die all around them, and yet they would just keep right on charging. Thank God for men and women that would do something like that. I mean, they gave their life because there was a cause greater than them, and they said, you know what, no matter what happens, I'm going to do everything I can to accomplish the task. And you know what? Do you know what won the day? It was because they had more bodies moving forward than they had bullets. And those men took the beach that day. And you know, that was just the start of the victory. Guess what? If every Christian, everybody in here that claims to be a member of Calvary Baptist Church, if we had that determination, and if we had that mindset that we were going to move forward, we're going to keep going, and we're going to do everything God wants us to do until He comes and gets us or He takes us out of here. I tell you, it would just be amazing to see that. It'd be amazing. And can I tell you tonight, guess what? If nobody else does it, you can do it. Nobody else does it, I can do it. I don't have to depend on, or I don't have to watch or wait and see what everybody else is going to do. I can make up my mind, and I can choose to serve God, and I can go on to serve Him. Now, I hope that the message tonight will speak to your heart about that very thing. You know what? We need more people in the ministry. I believe God's calling. When I talk about the ministry, I'm talking about full-time Christian service. I'm talking about surrendering and giving your life to the Lord to preach the gospel or whatever He would have for you to do. Missionary, anything along that line. I believe we need more people in the ministry. I believe God's calling, but you know, the question is, are we listening? If God's calling, you know, if you're not listening, you're still going to miss it. You're going to miss it. I believe God calls every person to some kind of work for Him. God doesn't call everybody into the ministry as a pastor. But I tell you what, he may be calling you. Young folks, listen, He may be calling you. You may be the one that this message is for tonight specifically. And God wants you to go into the gospel. God wants you to give it all and surrender to follow Him and go into the ministry and let God use you in a great way. I tell you, you'll never be sorry. You'll never regret. You'll never regret giving everything you have to the Lord. All right? Let's look at the call of Elisha. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 19. The Bible says this: So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him. Elijah is the prophet that Elisha is going to surrender his life to, go after him and to serve him. Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, we ask that you would bless. Lord, we ask that you would do what nobody else can do. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each and every heart. Lord, all of us need to be challenged about our service, our work, our ministry for you. And I pray that, Lord, you would bless and use the message tonight, Lord. Use it to speak to every heart. Lord, you've already spoke to mine. Lord, you've already challenged me. Lord, you've already put, I feel like you've put pressure on me, Lord, to do more than I've ever done for you before, Lord, to get to be engaged and reignited. And Lord, I pray that you'd do the same in the hearts and lives of these folks here tonight. And I pray that, Lord, you'd just use it and you'd bless it. We sure will thank you for what you do, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, Elijah's call started with another Old Testament prophet named Elijah. And we're going, let's turn back, just if we could, just a few pages back to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah was the man that God used, I guess it was probably, you know, three to four years, you know, somewhere in that time period. And God burdened his heart, and God spoke to his heart. And Elijah went to the king, and he stood before the king, and he said, King, as the Lord my God liveth, there's not going to be rain, there's not going to be dew until I pray and ask God to send the rain. And he turned around and he walked off. And for 3 years, there was no rain, there was no dew, no moisture of any kind that landed on the ground. And because of that, great famine, drought, all kinds of things happened because of that. By the way, Elijah, most of the people in the kingdom would look at Elijah and call him the enemy because of what he had done. He had destroyed their way of living, their way of their livelihood there. But listen, what they didn't realize, that God was using him to judge the nation of Israel because of their idolatry. They had went after other gods. They had left God and they had tried to follow other gods, and that's what they do. They'd given their life to him. But you know, Elijah, after the 3 year period there, he challenges the whole nation of Israel. And he says, here's what we're going to do. He said, I want you to bring all the prophets of Baal. I want you to bring all those prophets and call all the nation of Israel up to the mount, and we're going to have a challenge here. Look what he says in chapter 18 in verse number 20. The Bible says, and Ahab sent to all the children of Israel, gathered the prophets together into Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then followed him. And what did the people do? The Bible says that the people answered not a word. Can you imagine the tension? Can you imagine the scene that's set before us here? Here is Elijah. He's the one that everybody was looking at. He was the one that everybody was blaming for all the troubles that they had went through. And here he is on top of the mountain, and here is Ahab, here is all these prophets, these false prophets. They've come up there, and listen, there's going to be a battle, there's going to be a showdown. And Elijah confronts the people, and he says, listen, you've come to a crisis point here. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve Baal or the world, these false prophets, these false gods? Are you going to serve them? Or are you going to serve the true and the living God? It's your choice. You're going to have to make a decision. By the way, folks, listen, I'm telling you, that is something as a Christian that we have to face that all the time. Who are you going to serve? Calvary Baptist Church, who are you serving today? Who are you going after today? Who are you listening to? Who are you following after? Are you following God? You know, Elijah's not trying to convince them to follow God. He says, listen, you just make up your mind. If Baal is who you love, then he said, go after him. Go get him. I mean, just give your life to him. But if God is God, if God is the true and living God, he says, follow him. Follow him. Folks, listen, we got to make that decision. We've got to come to the place to where we decide, listen, God is the only one worthy of our followership. Nobody else deserves to be followed. Nobody else deserves our worship but God. And folks, listen, it is time for us as Christians to stand up and say, listen, forget this world. I'm following God. I'm following him, and I'm going to give him everything. Listen, I'm throwing in the towel. I'm giving him everything. I'm not going to fight him anymore. You know, I was listening to some people preaching. I believe I can't remember if Pastor Broyhill used this illustration. He may have, or was there Preacher Baker or whatever. But somebody used this illustration, and I thought, man, this is so good. He said the call of God is kind of like this. He said, you take out a blank sheet of paper, you go to the bottom, and you sign your name. You turn it around and pass it across the table and say, God, you fill out the details. Listen, God wants us to follow Him. God wants us to sell out and just give it all to Him. That's really what He's expecting of us. And until we do that, I really believe that I believe we're going to be hindered in our work for the Lord. God wants everything that we have. He wants us to give it all to Him. Do you remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, I followed the commandments. I've done all these things. All the commandments, I've kept them. I've done them all. He said, what do I lack? He said, well, I see you lack one thing. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sell everything. Sell everything and follow me. You know what he said? Too much. Too much. Too expensive. It costs too much. I can't do that. Well, folks, can I just tell you? You know, the sad thing to say is a lot of people are just like that. Just like that. If God maybe had said, well, why don't you just sell half of it? You sell half of it, or sell a fourth of it, or a third of it. Sell some of it and follow me. He might would have done that. But you know what? He would have never really followed the Lord. You know, we never really follow the Lord until we totally surrender and totally sell out to Him. When we do that, then God has us where He wants us, and He can use us in a great way. Serving God is always a choice. You know, sometimes we like to say, Lord, if you'll give me some of the details, if you'll let me help you fill this out, I'll sign it and I'll do it. But you know what? God just doesn't work that way. He says, if you want me, you can have me, but you have to do it my way. You have to follow me, lock, stock, and barrel. You know, can I just tell you that God, like Elijah, I hope he's confronting you right now and asking you, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? I want to see three things about Elisha's call. First of all, it was a specific call. He called Elijah and Elijah only. He was the one that God had zeroed in on. He wanted Elisha to follow him and to serve him all the days of his life. You know, the call came from God. We saw that up on the mountain. Well, I'm sorry. After they had the confrontation up on the mountain, you know, Elijah, there was a great victory there. And God answered his prayer, and fire fell on the sacrifice and consumed it. And, you know, it was a great victory. It was a great day. And you know what the people did? The people shouted. The people rejoiced because they saw God work. I believe there was many decisions made that day. That there was people there that said, you know what? God really is God, and I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to follow Him all the days of my life. And so after that, several things happened, but Elijah got his eyes off God. He got discouraged. He ran and he hid under a juniper tree. You know what he was doing? He was afraid that Jezebel was going to catch up with him and take his life. He was afraid. He got afraid. And God came and ministered to him. God came and took care of him. And God brought him back to where he was willing to go back into the ministry, willing to go back and serve God and live for God and do what God wanted him to do. You know, it's easy to get discouraged in the ministry sometimes. It's easy to do that. I tell you, sometimes there's a lot of disappointment in ministry. But you know what? God never gives up. God never gives up on somebody. God always is trying to bring us back to where we need to be. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're away from God, you've maybe got discouraged or whatever it is, you got your eyes off God, and you're not following Him like you used to, or you're not following Him like you should, guess what? God still loves you. And God will take you back. God wants you to get back into the ministry, get back to where you need to be. and start serving God again. God loves you. He never gives up on us. And Elijah, God used him. And one of the things that God told Elijah, he said, listen, and I believe God did this. This was the reason he did it. One of the reasons he did it, because Elijah was going to be with him. He was going to be a companion to him. And listen, Elijah was going to be an encouragement to Elijah. And he was going to help him in the ministry. And he was going to be a servant to him. And he was going to take care of him. And I believe he was going to be a great influence and help him to keep on serving the Lord. And so Elijah was used of God to call Elijah. Now, I don't know about you, but this scene here in 1 Kings 19, where God sends Elijah to go to Elijah, and he's out there plowing in the field, and he comes to lay his mantle on him. He comes to throw his mantle on him, signifying that God has called him into the ministry. Boy, I tell you, what a great thing that was. So in verse 19 there, where he talks about, he found Elijah, and he was plowing with oxen. He was out there in the field. He was working. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. You know, when they saw Elijah coming to them, you know, probably one of the things that they thought to themselves, oh no, there he comes. There comes Elijah. By the way, Elijah was, like I said, in many people's eyes, Elijah was the one that had caused all these problems. But really, it was their sin. But God used Elijah to stop the rain. And those people looked at him and they said, oh no, here he comes. By the way, many times in the you read in the Old Testament here, when an Old Testament prophet would come on the scene, many times they would ask, are you come peaceably? Have you come to bring peace, or is judgment coming? You know, when the prophet showed up, a lot of times judgment followed soon thereafter. And so here they were, Elijah and his family, all the servants. They were out there plowing in the field, and they were out there working. They were working hard. Listen, the rain had come back. It was time to plow the field. It was time to get things ready because there was going to be a harvest. And so here they are. They're out there working. There comes the prophet. They, no doubt they can see him from afar, from you know, long ways off. He's walking up, and he walks by, and he's got the mantle. I don't know what it looked like or what it was exactly, but when he walked by him, he threw it on him. You know what? He never hesitated about that. He knew exactly what that meant. He knew exactly what was going on. When the mantle was thrown on him, he knew that God had put his hand on him, and he wanted to separate him to the ministry that God had for him. And you know what? Here's the great thing about Elisha. He saw that. He knew that. And you know what? He was ready and willing to follow God. Listen, God had called him. He realized it. He knew it. And he was ready to follow God. You know what I was wondering as I was looking through here and I was reading different passages of Scripture? I wonder if Elisha was on Mount Carmel when Elijah came up there. The Bible says that the nation, they called the whole nation. Now, I know not every person was up there on that mountain, but I tell you what, there's a whole bunch of people up there. I wonder if Elijah was one of those people that was up there. And when Elijah confronted them, that crowd, that whole crowd of people, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to follow? I wonder if Elijah had said that day, I'm going to follow God. I don't know that. But if he wasn't there, guess what? The whole nation heard about it. The whole nation heard about it. And I'll guarantee you there was many people that day that decided, you know what? I'm going to follow God and I'm going to serve him. And you know what? Here was a man, Elijah, just a young man. And he was working. He was busy. He was already doing, you know, he was already busy doing working there for the family and all those things. But, you know, when the mantle fell upon him, he was ready and willing to go. I want you to see the second thing, and that was, it was an immediate response. The Bible says that as soon as he came by, as soon as he threw the mantle on him, verse 20, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. You know, And he said, "All I need is just a little bit of time here. Let me go back and kiss my father and mother, and then I'm going to follow you." It was an immediate response. He went after him. It was a courageous response. You know, Jezebel was still after Elijah, and she would continue to be after him until the Lord took her life. She hated Elijah, and she was going to do everything she could to follow him and try to find him and try to kill him. And so when Elijah went after Elijah, guess what? It put him in danger. He knew that his life was at risk, but he still followed. He still said, you know what? I'm still going to follow the Lord. Not only was it a courageous response, but it was a total response. Elijah sacrificed his yoke of oxen. He burnt the instruments that he plowed with, and he told his parents goodbye. You know, folks, listen. Here was a man that was serious about the call of God in his life, and he said, you know what? I'm giving it all up. And I'm going to follow God. You know, God doesn't necessarily want us to be like the rich young ruler. We just mentioned him. I don't know that God wants us to sell everything we have and follow after him. But I tell you what, God wants us to be willing to give up everything for him. You know, there's people, like I said, there's people that, you know, think if they could keep their job, If they could make a lot of money, or if, you know, whatever, that you can put anything you want to in there, whatever speaks to you about. But, you know, if I could do this, if I could do that, you know, God, I'd be willing to serve you. But can I just tell you that whatever God has for you is going to be a whole lot better than what you could have for yourself? Folks, listen, there's no way in the world I could have ever planned my life and had it come out good like God did. I tell you, I just can't begin to tell you all the great things God's done for me and God has allowed me to be a part of. I think, I don't mean anything by this, but I love the church. I love our church here. And I tell you, God has allowed me to see so many great things here at this church. I tell you, I've been a part of a lot of things at this church, and I'm thankful for it. I've seen all kinds of people get saved through the years. I've seen people called into the gospel ministry. I've seen Calvary Baptist Church send out missionaries and support missionaries. And I mean, we can just go on and on and on. Listen, you've been a part of this church. You have been fortunate. You're still fortunate because we've seen God work in so many great ways. I tell you, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the opportunities. I'm thankful for the friends and people that I've come across here at my time at Calvary. I'm thankful for that. And I count it an honor to be to have so many friends and to have, like I said, so many good experiences and so many good memories of the things that God has allowed me to be a part of. I'm thankful for that. I tell you what, one of these days, I guess when we get to heaven, God maybe will let us see. If you had took your path, if you had made your own way, here's what would have happened to you. I don't know if he'll do that or not. But I tell you what, it'd be a sight to see that, wouldn't it? Where would you be tonight if you had followed your own way? Where would you be tonight if you hadn't followed after God? Where would you be tonight if Jesus hadn't saved you? Where would you be tonight? Boy, I tell you, it's a scary thought to think about that. It was scary. But here was Elijah, and he said, listen, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. I'm not going to be a farmer anymore. I'm going to slay these animals. I'm going to burn the instruments that I used to plow with. I'm going to tell my mom and dad goodbye because I don't know when I'm going to see them again, and I'm going after God. Folks, can I tell you, there's no greater life. There's no greater life. Follow after God. Get that piece of paper out. Sign your name at the bottom. Hand it to the Lord and say, Lord, you fill it in. And let me do what you want me to do. And then can I just go on to say that it was a public proclamation that he gave. He told everybody that would listen. He said yes to God. He was going to follow God. Now I want you to see the last thing, and that is his servant's heart. You know, Elijah was part of a wealthy family. But you find him, he's plowing with the servants out there. You know what that says? You know what that shows about Elisha, that he was a man that was willing to work. He was a man that was willing to do whatever was necessary. Do you know, can I just say that I wrote this down. I'm not sure who said it, but somebody said, God does not call idle men to his work. You know, God is always looking for a man. He's always looking for somebody that'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge. He's always looking for somebody that'll go on for him. He's always looking for somebody that will carry on the work. But you know what? You very seldom will find God going after somebody that's lazy. God wants us to work. God wants us to be busy. God wants us to be busy doing something now, and then he finds those people that are faithful in the little things, and you know what? He gives them more. I think to myself, and I know I've told this before, but there's a lot of folks here that's never heard this. I give you the best example I know of, and it's a true life example because it's mine. You know, I remember, this has been years and years ago, when God called me into the ministry. God wanted me to do something for him. You know, I never dreamed, I never imagined, and I know y'all are saying, yeah, we never imagined that either, that I would be a preacher, and I would stand in front of you folks and preach. I never imagined that would ever happen in my life. By the way, I never wanted it to happen. I never asked for it to happen. But God saw something there. God saw. God enabled, and God put me here. God put me here. And so, you know, I'm sorry you're stuck with it because, you know, you have to take that up with God. It's a good thing. It is a good thing. All right? But can I tell you, when I surrendered to the Lord, it wasn't that I surrendered and I said, God, I'll be a preacher. It really started years before that, when there was a sign-up sheet that was put on the communion table that asked for volunteers or people that was willing to work in Awanus. And I saw it, and it said on there, game leader. In other words, play games. I thought, man, that's me. I can do that. I'm good at games. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how good at games I was. I started off as a yellow team game leader. I became the game commander for Awanus. That's how good I am at games. I mean, they took one look at me and said, hey, take that guy to the top. Let him be at the top. And so every week it was my job to pick out games and play games. And man, I'm telling you what, I loved it. That was great. But can I tell you, God knew, if he said, Scott, I'm going to make you a preacher one day. You know, y'all would have had to find me. I'd been under the juniper tree with, you know, Elijah. You wouldn't have been able to find me. But he said, I'm just going to take you a little bit at a time. And you know, if I hadn't been willing to do that little thing, I wouldn't be standing in front of you today. Amen. Listen. I remember when I got saved, my wife and I, how excited we were to come to church. Is that the way you folks are? Are you excited to come to church? Listen, I didn't know a lot of things, and I was learning, she was learning. But I tell you what, we wanted to be at church. We wanted to be at church. We loved church. We would do anything, you know, whatever was going on at the church, that we wanted to be a part of it. We wanted to be there. And if they were signed up for, you know, whatever, it didn't make no difference. We signed up. We were a part of any and everything that we could be a part of. We just felt that was the way you're supposed to be. That was the way everybody should be. Man, excited about God's work, and just get in there and just do anything and everything God wants you to do. Folks, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Now, I'm not saying you do that and God's going to make you a preacher. You know, I'm not saying that. And by the way, God doesn't want everybody to be a preacher. If everybody was a preacher, it'd be hard to preach to a bunch of, you know, if everybody was preachers. God wants you to just go to work and do your job and be faithful and do that. But folks, listen, it's way more than that. God's got to work for you. God wants you to work in the ministry wherever you're at and wherever you go. I was talking to my life group this morning, And for the last couple of weeks, God has just really been working in my heart about just being the kind of Christian that He wants us to be. Do you know, as I was telling them this morning, there was some of them talking about, somebody said something, well, you know, we need more ushers. Now, this is not official. This is just something, this is just preaching, so don't pay any attention to this. But they said, we need more ushers. And I said, you know what? You can be an usher. Anybody wants to be an usher can be an usher. You know that? They said, what about, I said, ladies, what about you? You want to be a preacher? Guess what? You can be a preacher. Hey, the Bible, and listen, God wants everybody to be a preacher. God wants everybody to be an usher. God wants everybody to be a greeter. God wants everybody to do all those things. What do you mean? Well, you know, everybody, anybody wants to be a preacher, you can be a preacher. Do you know that being a preacher or preaching is just simply proclaiming the gospel? You don't have to have any training. You can be a man or you can be a woman. Anybody can tell somebody about Jesus, can't they? Is that against the law? Is that against the rules? Now, if you're going to stand in the pulpit and preach, you're probably not going to be successful here. But if you want to preach door to door, guess what? You can do that. If you want to go around your neighborhood and you want to preach to everybody in your neighborhood, guess what? You can do that. You know, I'm just simply saying to tell people about the gospel. You want to be a greeter, be a greeter. You don't have to have a title to be a greeter. Everybody in here ought to be greeting everybody in here. Do you know Brother Tom turns around and says, "Now, Calvary, let's all get up and let's all find somebody and let's you know introduce ourselves and meet somebody." Guess what? You ought to be doing that already. He shouldn't have to tell you that. That's something that ought to just be in us. That ought to just be part of. Listen, that's being a Christian. Be an usher. People come in. Guess what? People need help when they come in. They come in, they don't know where to go, they don't know what to do. Guess what? You ought to walk up to them and say, "Hey, is there anything I can help you do? Can I help you find a seat? Can I show you to the restrooms? Can I show you to the nursery?" Listen, every Christian ought to be doing that. Everybody ought to be doing that. Why? Because we love God and we love people and we want to see people just come and be a part of our church. Don't you get excited? Don't you get blessed by people coming in and you can minister to them, you can help them, and you can do something for them? My goodness, it's one of the greatest things in all the world. Folks, listen, let's just do everything that we can do to be as much like God as we can be so people will come. And listen, they may not be saved, they may not be living for God, they may be going through a difficult time, but guess what? We're here for them, and we're here to help them. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, you know, I'm already doing so much. I'm already doing this." Well, you know what? Don't say, "I'm already doing this," or "I've already doing a lot of stuff." Say, "God, is there anything you want me to do? God, is there anything more you want me to do? God, am I doing what you really want me to do?" You know, instead of us saying, "Well, I'm already busy, I'm already doing things." If you are, that's great. But listen, like I said, let God tell you what He wants you to do. Let God give direction to your life. Let God be the one that guides you and puts you where He wants you to be. I'm telling you, again, if you'll do that, you'll never regret it. You'll never look back on it and say, "Boy, I wished I hadn't served God. Boy, I wished I hadn't done that for God. I wished I hadn't." You'll never do that. Listen, God wants us to be in the ministry. God wants us to do His work. Will you, this is the invitation, will you take out a piece of paper tonight, put your name at the bottom, and hand it to God and let Him fill it in for you? Would you do that? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, as we come before You tonight, Lord, we are grateful, we are thankful for Your many blessings. I pray that, Lord, You'd speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to be willing and ready to, Lord, surrender to You to do whatever You would have for us. Lord, we're sure we're going to thank You for what You do. We just ask that You speak to our hearts tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? Your heads are bowed and eyes.